this week in your parents' basement, we're gassing up our Efreets and spreading napalm all over enemy tanks and fighters. From 1991, we're playing UN Squadron by Capcom for the SNES. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the ace fighter pilot that loves to bomb him some trucks. It's Huell Hauser.
Only a madman would take on this mission. Luckily, they found me.
And our other co-host, he knows the Shin Kazami. It's Todd Brisket.
Oh, yeah. I guess I do. He wrote this. He wrote this. North Africa. Area 88 is a bitter, bloodstained battlefield. The front line's front line. Even the simple luxury of walking on the runway is dependent on the graces of Allah. But we abandoned God and shook hands with the devil. We are the mercenaries of hell.
Wow, that was intense. Where was that reading from?
Sorry, I missed that.
I said, where was that reading from?
Oh, that was from the television show Area 88.
Mm.
Oh, some hot...
How appropriate.
Hot IP. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypppodcast.com. It should work as long as it is not Prime Day, apparently. So, this week's game, I know, I showed them.
Jeff. Yeah. Jeff's got some cold water to pour on that one.
Mm-hmm. This week's game is UnSquadron. It was nominated by one of our Discord users, James Woods in the Hard Way, which is an early 1990s buddy cop movie with Michael J. Fox. So it's appropriate that he or she nominated an early 1990s shmup for us. I was mostly familiar with UN Squadron because it was well covered in Nintendo Power and the Super Nintendo Player's Guide I had as a kid. However, I didn't play it until I was in my 20s, well after it came out. I found it to be a really difficult but fairly fun shmup. Todd, did you have any experience with this one?
No, not at all. I've, you know, I had my subscriptions to Nintendo Powers, but I must have glossed over this one because I never even really heard of it until fan of the show James Woods in the Hard Way was pushing it, and so I looked it up and tried it out this week. Wow, what a delight! This was a lot of fun. This is a little gem of a game here. It's weird. I've not really heard. I probably have heard of it at some point, like just reading, you know, best games, and it's coming in at like number 80 out of 100. And it's like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go on up to number 30 where the big boys are. And so I was pleasantly delighted playing this game. This is a, as you said, it's a very difficult but fun shooter. Shmup. Mm-hmm. Shmup, as they say. And this one is based on the anime/manga, as they say in Japan.
Yes.
Called Area 88. And it's about a young pilot named Shin Kazama. Shin Kazama.
Yes.
As he negotiates the skies over Afghanistan in the 80s.
Negotiates like the skies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what pilots do.
Mm-hmm.
He also shoots down evil baddies, but, you know, that's just as part of being a pilot.
It's part of the game.
Part of the game, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's the name of the game.
Yeah, I booted up this game.
Cha-cha. That's what he says to all the baddies.
Yeah. That's cha-cha.
Sorry.
So you booted up the game.
Boot up the game. We're playing, and to be specific, we're playing the Super Nintendo version for for this week's show.
Yes, absolutely.
I did not touch on or touch the arcade version. My local arcade did not have it, so I didn't play it. Mm. I did have the cartridge, and I downloaded the ROM, which I kept legally for 24 hours.
Yeah, my cabinet didn't arrive in time, so I too only played the Super Nintendo.
I didn't play the arcade version because I'm pretty sure that might be a Japan only thing. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you boot up the Super Nintendo version, I watched the intro and I was blessed with some Mode 7 graphics of an airplane taking off.
Yeah. Like,
wow, this is going to be an incredible game. It's
good
Mode
intro.
7, Capcom. This is going to be incredible right off the bat. And with the music. You know, let's get this out of the way first. The music in this game, jaunty and lovely.
Lovely. Wow.
Lovely, jaunty music.
I would call it fitting. I would call it appropriate music. It gets you amped up. You're ready to fly that plane and shoot some baddies.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest with you fellas, I've had the soundtrack playing in the background on a repeat for a few hours today while I was cooking my bacon dinner. My bacon and chip dinner. I had chips and bacon.
Only the finest.
Yes.
Only the finest.
Wait, does that mean you had like potato chips with slices of bacon?
Or no, did I had you tortilla like... chips. Tortilla chips.
Steven, come on.
With a little salsa, as you guys up there say.
Oh, okay.
A little salsa.
He's a grown man.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wife is out of town, so that's why. So as I was eating my dinner, I was enjoying this lovely,
we're barely
lovely,
past
jaunty
booting
soundtrack.
Up the game. Please continue.
Yeah, so
you heard the music.
Yeah, it's all the soundtrack on this game. That's all I'm trying to put across.
Did you hit start on your controller?
No, I let it play through a few times.
You got to see the intro, man.
Got to watch that Mode 7. This game has that Mode 7 in the intro. They don't have it in the rest of the game that I saw, but they have it in the intro. All right, then I did play. And it's a little confusing at first because, you know, standard shmups, you choose your pilot and you start blasting. This one, you got to choose your pilot. Then you choose a plane.
Right.
And then you choose a weapon.
Yeah, you get money.
And then you start
money in this one.
Yeah, this one, you're not, it's called UN Squadron, but you're really, you have to pay for everything yourself. You're not taking it out of the country's pocket. You're paying for it, everything yourself. You have to buy your own plane. You have to buy your own weapons. It's a lot of cash flow going on in this game.
Well, you're limited early on because you just get a little bit of, I think, like 3,000 UN fun bucks to start with. So you can really only have your one free plane. You can buy like maybe one extra weapon.
Yeah.
But you get tons of money even playing like one or two levels. So you can kind of switch it up after that.
See, you do get a lot of money, but I found it tough to buy the best planes.
Yeah, the planes are obviously much more expensive, but you can get a few good weapons.
Yes.
Along the way.
Yeah, but in typical Steve Greenwell fashion, I would buy the side weapons and then decide they were far too precious to use. So
no, you gotta waste them at the end of a mission. Like, I've got the boss just waste those things.
Mm-hmm. I've got that same affliction.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I might need it later. And I'm like, I'm dying like 14 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Well, yeah, I like I like that addition where it's not just, well, it is a shmup, but it's customizable. You got each pilot has like a different ability and you can buy the different weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the star of this game is Shin Kazama.
Shin Kazama.
Born in Tokyo, Japan. Top gun of the UN squadron. Shin raises his power level the quickest. Which I think just means he upgrades the main gun.
His main gun upgrades for than others, and it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit more powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool that he's made it this far because he only looks out of one eye. Because if you see any screenshot or picture or from the anime or Japanimation as they say or manga as they say, his right eye is always covered with that coif of hair.
He's
that
stylish.
Plumage flowing down across his right eye.
Yeah.
The style matters more than anything.
Yeah. I was going to say he
is a fighter jet.
He has a predecessor of an emo haircut, but I think it's Flock of Seagulls. Like they had that kind of.
Yeah, it's halfway between. Then we also have Mickey Simon, which is spelled S-C-Y-M-O-N, possibly the coolest spelling of Simon ever to be created. Born in San Francisco, California, he served as a U.S. Navy pilot in Vietnam. Mickey is capable of handling the most special weapons. The most special weapons, not the most special weapons.
Is that from the is that from the manual right there?
Yes. Mickey is capable of handling the most special weapons, which I guess means he can buy more than others, which are those purchasable weapons that we were speaking on.
Yeah, what I read is that I don't know if it's about he can buy more than others, but his secondary weapons have more powerful impact than
maybe
others.
You get more, like your stock is higher.
Yeah.
Because when I bought bombs with number 3 here, I had 50, so maybe Mickey has like 60 or 70. Yes, number 3, Greg Gates, born in Copenhagen, Denmark, former instructor to NATO pilots. Greg recovers from battle damage the quickest. And I chose him because I figured I was going to be getting shot a lot.
Oh yeah,
and I was correct.
Yep.
He is the newbie pilot. As I've read a few guys, because guys, folks out there, listeners, audiences, viewers, this game is very difficult. I could not beat anything, and all the tips I read say you got to play. I mean, I beat some planes up, but all the tips I read
you beat
said,
some planes up.
You got to play as Greg Grunberg because he's got the best health recovery.
Yeah, an X-Wing pilot, Greg Grunberg.
Yeah. Maddie Parkman? That's who you mean?
Yeah.
So you never
Wasn't that his power? Wait, wasn't that his power in Heroes? No, that's the cheerleader. Never mind.
Oh. Yeah, easy to mix up. Easy to mix those up. So you never even beat the first level?
Sorry, I was Googling Matt Parkman. Yes, I did beat the first level, and I did beat the second level. And I beat the flying attack coming at your home base, which is
okay.
I guess we can touch on that. Which is you get to choose which stage you play in this game. You can choose between attacking a base or attacking some armada that is flying towards your home base. You can choose whichever one is visible on your radar. So in the early part of the game, you only have like one enemy to attack. But as you beat those, your radar expands. You can choose which enemy you want to attack. And after each stage you play or you die, the armadas or ground troops encroach on your army's position, which is, I thought that was a nice little touch. I don't think that's part of the arcade at all. I think the arcade is just stage to stage without choosing. So it has a little tiny bit of strategy in there.
Yeah, I like that addition to the shmup, as well as the money you get to like choose different levels. It's a little bit of an RTS feel. Like because in some RTSs you pick, this is our next mission, we got to do this or whatever. So I like that.
It adds a little variety and replay to this game compared to like I think one of the first games we did was Gradius 3. And that's just like, you just go straight through it every time. So
yeah. That's a standard shmup thing, is just go level by level. But this is a little bit of a little Dune 2 spin on it, where you can pick the level you're playing.
All right, and I looked it up just so we don't get angry emails. Hold your emails, folks. Matt Parkman's ability was telepathy. He could hear people thinking.
Oh. Mm. This is Heroes, you say?
That is Heroes, yeah.
Okay.
You know what this game reminded me of, although I, just looking it up now, apparently the PC game came out later. Todd, did you ever play a game called Raptor, Call of the Shadows?
I did, yeah. That was one of my early PC favorites. I only had the shareware version, because that's how I rolled back in the day. But yeah, I did play the hell out of that shareware version of Raptor.
Yeah, that one... That one was
Call of the Shadow.
Yeah, it was basically it was somewhat similar to this game, like different art style. Like this is as Todd would say, this was an anime art style, whereas Raptor was more like that gritty, realistic mid 90s shmup. But
It's realistic in 90s standards, just pre-rendered spaceships flying on the screen, but it was a vertical shooter and not a horizontal shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it did have the same mechanic where you shot down ships and you got cash. You could upgrade your ship.
Yeah, get that cash.
Yeah. This game reminded me of that one. I think I actually played Raptor first because I did have that game as a kid. So, but no, they're both good little jaunts. Difficult, but fun.
Yeah, we said last week when we played Gunstar Heroes, it was challenging, where it was hard at first, but you could get the hang of it. Mm-hmm. I find this more challenging, but not impossible, where I could tell if I played a little more, I could probably beat a good amount of it. Maybe by the end, when there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on, I might not be able to get it. But yeah, I was getting the hang of it. I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Difficult, but fun.
The trickiest thing I found was, well, one, obviously there's tons of stuff being shot at you, as with any shmup. But also, it just didn't seem like my weapons did that much damage. Like, especially the boss fights just lasted a long time for me. Like, just wailing away on them. So, like, you just kind of have to have some patience to whittle down their health. And,
well, you got to upgrade that main gun, and you got to use those secondaries.
the other issue I had with this game is, this is not one of them nice, sweet modern games where you can replay stages to earn up some money. So,
the green whale method.
it's not quite save scumming, but I like to grind.
Farm. Yeah. You like to farm?
Well, I guess
grind and farm.
I guess save scumming is the green whale method, and grinding is more the green whale approach. They're different doctrines.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
got it.
So if for some reason you can't beat a stage, there aren't many options available to you. Like you can't go backstage and try to buy a more powerful ship to get your way through. So, like the couple of times I had played this game in the past, I would get to a wall, I think like in the fifth or sixth stage, and then just not be able to get any further. So,
like a literal wall?
No, not a literal
wall. I ran into those plenty, but
I think it may be the stage where you fight like a stealth bomber or something like that.
Oh yeah, that is tough.
But that may have been just the second stage. Like it's kind of blurring.
Yeah, that was the stealth bombers are the bosses of the flying armadas.
Mm-hmm. One where you're like, yeah, it's just planes. And you're just flying through the sky.
Ah,
and those other planes that like shoot giant claws at you. Yeah, that was crazy. Not something that you see too often.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about all the stuff going on the screen, and there are times where it does slow down a little bit, I think because there's just so much going on. Maybe overclocked that Super Nintendo a little.
Yeah. The system is really mode 7-ing.
Yeah.
It's like going into mode 8. It's like,
damn it.
Made the joke before you could. Got it. Ah, good time.
I always wait for that one guy that goes,
Yeah.
He's really into it.
By the way, Googling it right now, Super Nintendo processor, or as they say in the UK, the SNES.
Processor?
Yes.
SNES processor.
3.58 megahertz.
Ooh, so smoking.
Wow, my iPhone can do that today in today's world.
It's like in my pocket. megahertz. I like that.
The NES 1.79. So it's double the power of the NES.
What a loser.
Are they twice the bits?
What about the Genesis? I'm going to guess 4.
Well, Genesis has blast processing, so that counts for something, right?
Blast. Well, it does what Nintendo don't also, which is more megahertz.
You are correct, Huel. The Genesis was clocked at 7.67.
Whoa!
Twice the clock speed of its rival.
Tick-tock. That's what that's what Jimmy Genesis said.
Hey, Mario, your time's up, man. Get out of here.
Well, I'm
Sonic. We're in the age of Sonic.
I'm super fast.
Jimmy Genesis. I'm not familiar with that character.
Yeah, he's the rival of Johnny Nintendo's.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Genesis.
That was Jimmy Segas.
Jimmy Segas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right, right, right. Of course.
Not to be mixed up with is it Johnny Blizzard's?
Well, Johnny.
Oh, boys, we're going back deep.
Jimmy Blizzard's, I thought, was the first.
Oh, one. Yes. Jimmy Blizzard's. Jimmy Blizzard's has ridden in quite a few times.
Yeah, but Johnny Nintendo's, I think, was after him. But then they stopped listening or don't have any more questions.
We got Jimmy Blizzard's.
Oh, no. Do you have a Rolodex?
I'm looking it up. Tommy Segas.
Tommy Segas. Sorry, Tommy.
Ooh. I think it's Johnny Nintendo's.
Oh yeah. Well, you don't delete your emails. Nintendo. You don't know when you're going to need those again.
Yeah, they're archived.
Oh, you know also who wrote in?
No.
Vinny Valves.
Of course.
And another one. I think this is my favorite. Danny Kanamis.
Oh, I love Danny Kanami.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember Danny Kanami.
We got to cover more Konami games. That's probably why he's not writing in.
Did Kenny Capcom ever write in? He might be interested this week.
Danny Konami's wrote in a few times. Wow.
Danny Konami did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. We had Joey Capcom's.
Joey. Oh, okay.
Joey Capcom.
That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Danny. Here's one more. Timmy Coleco Visions.
I'm laughing more at you cracking yourself up. But Timmy Coleco Visions.
You know,
it's Dutch. I think
his dad started that company, right? They named the company after him.
Yeah, or it's a Dutch name, yeah.
You know, he's probably like a grown 50-year-old man by this point. You'd think he would not be going by Timmy, but you know,
he's retired.
Yeah, his friends call him Timmy. He considers us his friends.
Mm-hmm. Man, well, Danny Konami, if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you again.
Yeah, it'd be great. Any of you guys.
Yeah. So, Unsquadron.
It's quite a squadron.
I was shocked, like doing the minor bit of research for the show this week, that there was in fact like a deep story-driven background for this game. But
there is
so deep.
Yeah, Todd referenced it was an anime, but there is a brief synopsis in the manual. If we want to move on to that,
I would. In fact,
sure,
Huel, I would like to know how the manual did on your rating scale.
Okay. Well, apparently, a year ago, a ruthless army of mercenaries swept across the kingdom of Aslan and destroyed everything in their path. Guided by the arms dealers of Project 4, the mercenaries now control every area of the country, except one. And that one area is Area 88.
Oh. Which
was the name of the anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah. Your little area apparently has some really great fighter pilots, and they fight back and start blowing stuff up.
Is that what they call it?
What? Your little area?
Yeah, little area. Got a great fighter pilot in it.
It's a tiny piece of desert.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Lies the last hope of the people.
Is that little area barren?
Mm-hmm. Nothing on it. Completely bare.
No man or boat there or anything.
Nope, just planes.
Okay.
Yep. So, this is a pretty boring manual, sorry to say. No artwork, no screenshots, just straight text.
Wow.
For 13 pages, so at least it's short. But, I mean, they run down everything you'd probably want to know. They got your controls. They got what's the things on the screen mean. How to buy stuff, what the power-ups, the three pilot bios that I read earlier. You got rundowns of the planes, the different weapons. Mm. You got.
Is there no pictures at all?
Survival tactics. No. You got the cover and then an ad for Mega Man 3 on the last page. Other than that, there are no pictures.
Wait, there's an ad for Mega Man 3 in that manual?
Yeah. The wildly popular Mega Man series continues with Mega Man 3.
Mega Man 3 came out for like the NES. That's
Yeah, it did.
Well,
but this game came out in 91 and that was one of the last one of NES the later games. NES games, yeah.
That's probably why. There are 21 rapid fire levels. Also, Rush becomes a jet, a submarine, and a whole lot more.
Mm.
But back to the UN Squadron manual. Yeah, I mean, it gives you everything you'd want. It's just so boring, and there's only text. And so I got to go right down the middle. This is 2.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oh.
Ooh, that is actually higher than I thought. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no sass, no pictures. I think that would weigh in heavily on my
But
my
it's well, this isn't your corner.
It is not. No, this is yours. I'm just saying what I would say.
But it gives you a lot of details. Like, it runs down all the different weapons. Like I said, it has pilot bios. It's got some story. So it has parts. They're just boringly presented.
Yeah.
So even that's a 2.5.
Even this was based on an anime, and
yeah,
I would hope to see at least like a couple of drawings in there.
I'm sure that the Japanese manual is like 50 times better. This is probably just like Capcom's U.S. department. Just like putting instructions in there. Because, I mean, when I always read the manual first, and when I was reading this, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a drag. But then I start it up and it's like all bright and colorful and you're shooting everything, and it just clashes with what the game really is. So it's disappointing.
Hmm.
Disappointed!
There it is.
Well, yep. I have a feeling that someone needs to send in a guess before one of our segments.
Sorry, I was talking for a while.
But I'll do my segment first.
Oh, sure.
Which, as we all know, is called the Herzog Pecking Order.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a pretty fun game. The only thing I mentioned that I didn't like was the fact that you can't replay stages to earn some more cash. Or as they say, in the country of origin, some yen, and we're always all about that here. So this is coming in at a Herzog 8 for me. Ooh, Herzog 8.
Very nice.
So, this is a really solid game. I had fun playing it this week. So I would have liked to have this one as a kid. But yeah, that is not a factor in the Herzog scale. So
yes,
yeah, agree. This was. I mean, I just felt fun playing it. It is frustrating, frustratingly hard at points. But you know, I just felt like picking it up again and flying that plane around, shooting some more baddies.
Mm-hmm.
It felt fun playing it.
But did you feel nostalgic playing it, Todd?
Ooh, are we segueing?
Yes.
So the
DuckTales.
The DuckTales scale has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this one. As I mentioned up top, on the top of the show, I've heard the name but never played it, paid no mind to it at all until this week. So no nostalgia for this at all.
Mm.
Replayability. It's pretty decent. You know, it's no Mario World if we're talking replayability on the SNES. But it's got its replayability elements. For a shmup, it's totally replayable. There's so many different ways you can go through, like different planes, different pilots, different weapons. So there's a lot you can do there. Shmup wise, this is highly replayable. So I will calculate that together here. Let me see. Okay. I'm going to send my apologies to James Woods in the hard way and give this one a 0.0. Sorry, let me rephrase that.
Whoa.
a 0.35.
Dang. Oh. That's
way higher than I guessed.
Yeah. I, I thought your guess was a little off, Huel. I will say, though,
the nostalgia pulled it down, but it's got a lot more going for it.
Mine was go ahead, Steve. If you're
Huel's guess was 0.24, but your guess last week was 0.35. So,
oh my God, it was.
You're just a week off.
So, let me write. See what I can guess.
Times, man. Get with the times.
Guess next week.
All right, regardless of what he says.
He's like, I played this as a kid all the time. Oh God, sweating.
Yeah, so, okay,
that was fun.
Yeah. Well, I only had one more note, which is just the where is this game series now? So it was well reviewed at the time, and IGN later called it the 37th best Super Nintendo game. That seems a bit high to me. But it is a good game. A sequel, Carrier Air Wing, came out in the arcades in Japan, but it wasn't ported to the States. So this is hot IP. It's laying dormant.
Yep.
You got the expanded UN Squadron universe here, and it's just ripe for games, TV, get some movies.
Mm. Well, they've released anime series. They've had a reboot of the anime series in the 2012, somewhere around there. So it's not like it's totally dormant.
It's dormant to North American viewers.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. Consumers. So I looked up this IGN list of the best Super Nintendo games just to see where this UN Squadron places. 37 UN Squadron. 36 NBA Jam.
Oh.
And 38 Kirby's Dream Course.
Did they get number one correct?
Let's see here.
There's really only two choices.
There's two choices. For Huel, there's two choices. For other people that play good games, there's multiple choices.
Well,
do you know when this list was released, Todd? That will affect my guess.
Huh.
Why did Mario have some allegations or something?
Peach 2.
I don't see a date on this article.
Oh, here's my thing. That would not be my guess because it's too obvious.
Okay. Well, Mike,
the guess is, I think you guys would both be able to guess the number one.
Todd, can you guess my two guesses?
I
know your first guess. Your first.
Well,
guess.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put my guess out there. It's gonna be Link to the Past.
Oh, it's gotta be. It's number one. Yeah, it is. And that's Huel's number one too.
Yes. Well, my other was Mario World.
Mario World, yeah. But I mean, Mario World's coming in number five on this
list. I was scared it was going to be some stupid Final Fantasy game.
Number two is a stupid Final Fantasy game called Chrono Trigger.
Final Fantasy Chrono Trigger.
I don't know. These lists are always weird to me. I feel like I would rather play Super Mario World than both of those games, like if I was just picking up and playing something.
Yeah, but you never played Link to the Past more than like 20 minutes.
No, I have played through Link to the Past like 10 times.
Oh.
It's Ocarina of Time.
That's the one.
I gave up. So
that's the one you're wrong about.
The thing about playing Link to the Past now that I notice is that Link moves very slowly. Like it's a struggle till you get them boots.
Oh,
so,
the boots, yeah.
Pegasus.
It's still like a fantastic game, but it's it is noticeable.
Okay.
But Unsquadron is also a good game.
Yep.
So. So I don't know. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
Yeah. One thing is that the biggest complaint I've seen about this game compared to the arcade is that the Super Nintendo version is only one player, one single player, while the arcade is two players. And I've seen some video of two players playing Unsquadron, and they are just blowing every bad boy plane out of the sky.
That definitely sounds fun.
It sounds fun with two players, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that would also make sense if this was a two-player game in the arcade, because then the fact that it takes forever to beat bosses, if you had two players, that would be quite a bit more manageable.
Yeah.
So
both fun and fun because it's fun blowing stuff up, and fun because you can actually get further and you enjoy the game more.
Yeah.
So you can actually beat stuff.
But, Todd, I understood that you had one other thing that you also wanted to share.
I am...
What could it be? Lifelong
coming
goals.
Out of the closet. I'm coming out of the closet.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to share.
Sorry.
And in my hands are a reason why.
Oh.
Two reasons why.
Oh.
Unsquadron for the Super Nintendo is the most best game of all time.
Oh. I was worried you were going to have 13 reasons why. Because that's too many to read on the show.
Yeah. Kids are all about those reasons. I'm not into as many reasons. Just have two of them. The first one is titled The Best, and it's written by Zila with an X in January 2013. And Zila wrote, "For years, I've always tried to figure out what was name of this game. Took a while, but figured it out, and because I finally found it and purchased it, I'm reliving my childhood, and it is awesome. New school gamers can't handle this game since beatable but hard to do so, which is why I love it. Gives me challenge every time. 5 stars.
Ah. Oh,
well, they seem very appreciative of this game.
I mean, if we didn't give it 5 stars before now we will.
Yeah.
And here's another reason why this game is the most best game of all time. And it's called Great Game That Stands the Test of Time. And it's written by Ian N. Limdrum in May of 2018.
Lindros?
This year. Mr. Ian M. Lindrum wrote this one.
This year.
And he wrote, "Still remember it from having chemotherapy in a children's hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wonderful
to find it and play it. 5 stars.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Glad you're still here in 2018.
Yeah, I certainly shared quite a bit with us just there. Where was that review left? On Amazon?
Amazon.
Oh, boy. Well, good times.
Good job, sir.
Your service.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, boy. Ah, well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
After that, we should probably just move on.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
You know what? I did.
Oh.
And it's from a friend of the show.
Uh-oh.
I hope he didn't send this email to you too as well, Huel. He wrote, the title is called Pretendos. And he wrote, "Bought Nintendo Switch, Neon, Joy-Con, plus SanDisk, 64-gigabyte card, plus Nintendo eShop gift card $20, bundle for $299. Was waiting to see if Switch could possibly come down in price, and it hasn't. Seemed like a good deal as any. Aside from Mario's and Zelda's, what other pretty good games are there? Friend of the show, DTR."
Oh, DTR.
Oh.
What a wonderful, wonderful email. I feel like you're both going to defer to me for this.
And yes,
you are the Nintendo Switch expert
of the program, and I have very little answers for him. I would always go with cart, but I don't know if that's covered in his Mario's blanket statement. I heard Splatoon is good.
Yeah, I heard Splatoon is
a still haven't played it.
I mean, there's not much out there really. Like Skyrim's out there, but that's on everything.
And I'm sure I don't know if DTR's played Skyrim.
I feel like he's gotten it in some kind of deal at some point and has played it on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's very few things you can't play it on, so.
I think he just got New Vegas recently, but I don't think you can play that on his Switch.
No.
No, he got it on PC.
And he wouldn't have if he bought it.
Mm-hmm. The kids are really into the old Octopath Traveler. But
one of those deep story driven RPG games.
Yeah, I think that's a traditional RPG. So I don't
okay.
Yeah, I'm looking right now to see if it's turn based, but
yeah, I just Googled best Switch games. So mm-hmm. I suggest you do the same, TTR.
Yeah. Here's my suggestion. Throwing it out there.
I honestly haven't picked the thing up in quite a while.
I don't have a Switch, and I'm sure I want to play that Kart 8. I want to play that Zelda. I want to play that Odyssey. Yep, I want to play that Splatoon. Yep. Mm-hmm. But here's the game I have played that they have on there. A little indie joint called Stardew Valley. Pick that one up. That'd be a good handheld game to take around with you.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the best farming/RPG game out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is a surprisingly robust category of games. You'd think that there would just be like one, but no. There's more.
So is Minecraft. Yeah, I mean, there's a few coming out that'll probably be fun, but they're not out yet, so hold on to it.
Is the Falling Out 76 coming for the Switch?
I doubt it.
I don't think so, because it's multiplayer focused and Switch is not multiplayer focused.
It's not.
It is not. Am I incorrect in saying that? I mean, it does have Splatoon, but
multiplayer focused. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
I think it's one of them old multiplayer focus where you have to be in the same room, isn't it?
It has internet capabilities. I don't know what you're.
Yeah, but in like the Nintendo way.
Right, you have to share your friend code before you can explore the wastelands with somebody.
Huh. Okay. I mean, it just depends on the game type. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Huel, did you receive any mails this week?
I got an email from a person that emailed me this following email. Dear YPV, wow, Gunstar Heroes sounded really fun. It's cool that there was a co-op game on the Genesis. There weren't that many back then. I love playing co-op games with others. Getting kids to play games with me is one of my favorite things. It's hard to do these days, but I think fondly on those times when the kids and I would play all sorts of games together. What are some of your favorite co-op games? And that is from Jared_F@hotmail.com.
Ah. I think he's written in before.
Possibly. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I think he used to be focused more on sandwiches, but I think he's segued to other things now.
Mm. Like co-op video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've said this before, and if you're trying to attract children to sit on your lap while you play, the best bet, those Lego games, man, those Lego games are a lot of fun to play with kids. Mm-hmm. Right about in, it's not a good like adult co-op game, but if you're playing with, if you got a kid sitting on your lap, you know, straddling your thigh, you know, that's a good one to plug in and plug on.
It's possible we had this question before. It's not out of the question.
I think this one is new because we've definitely talked head to head games like your Kart, Smash Brothers.
Probably just the generic multiplayer, but co-op. Yeah, that's pretty specific.
Co-op's different. Like what immediately springs to mind for me, back in the day, and we've also covered this game, Smash TV. That was a fun co-opper.
Big prizes.
But I think the one I've played most recently was the Massey FX 3.
Really?
That has co-op multiplayer online, and I like that. I liked that it was...
Yeah, that's pretty fun multiplayer co-op in that one, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a survival mode co-op. So it's,
online multiplayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a group of four different people fighting the space aliens together.
Yes. Yeah, Gears of War had a great mode like that too. They called it Horde mode, where it's just waves of enemies.
Yeah, I like that way more than the straight up duels and like
just battle. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that would always that...
me as well, because I always get killed fast in those.
Yeah, you don't have to be as good. That's what it's coming down to.
Exactly, yes. But if it's a co-op game where you're fighting the computer, it's more feels like it's more strategy than just who has the best the twitchy mm-hmm. trigger finger.
That'd be the worst part of like Borderlands 2. Like sometimes you jump in and mm-hmm. yeah, I agree. So
Steve, you might have lagged a bit. I don't know what you're saying.
That's all right. It's appropriate that I lagged since I was talking about co-op multiplayer.
True that.
Yeah,
well, two more modern.
Yeah, the weird thing is that since we're recording this in real life, he kind of spasmed out for a few seconds.
Yeah,
like in my studio here, in my studio office where I'm looking at you
that
guys right now.
Was strange. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, have you guys seen that documentary Back to the Future? It was kind of like that.
Yeah, you faded out a bit, and then your brother ended up making your parents bone. So then you came back.
But I don't have a brother.
Oh, no.
It happened.
Splintered.
Yeah. Well, what were your two picks, Yul?
How about them timelines?
What timeline are we in? All right.
The darkest timeline.
I had two more modern picks post 2000, which games we do not cover strictly. And those were... Well, the one I probably had the most fun with was Portal 2. That had a great co-op. Probably one of the only like co-op campaigns I actually finished. So that was fun. And Left 4 Dead, that zombie basher, was really fun.
Oh yeah, that's very similar to the Mass Effect co-op.
But I mean, you get like replayable levels where you're going like from one end to the other, so that was fun. Mm-hmm. But it's a group of four. You can have like two people and two computers and three people or four people. So that's really fun to jump into.
That's the one where like you're in a mall, right? And you can like everything's a weapon.
No,
that's Dead Rising.
Yes. Left 4 Dead is a first person shooter, but it's a co-op zombie bash 'em up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dead Rising is a single player game.
Yeah, where you're Frank West.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, a great game.
Mm-hmm.
It has a mechanic that pissed off a lot of people, but I enjoyed it, and those people were stupid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then.
Was it a car mechanic or...
Yes. A helicopter mechanic. No, it was a thing where it was a strict timeline that you had to stick to, and the point was you replay it to get to the points that you missed before.
Oh yeah, I did. I did not.
Angry. They're like, I missed this mission. So it's like a real time ticking clock.
Yeah, I did not even realize that until I got stuck in the game at some point, and I was trying to look up where how to like write myself, and then I was reading. Oh yeah, by the way, I guess all these people died because I didn't do things quickly enough.
Yep, sorry.
Yeah.
But it was meant to be replayed. But
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of a neat mechanic, but, you know, I'm into save scumming, so I realize why that would be frustrating.
This was not the game for you.
No.
It has built-in save scumming, and he doesn't like it.
Yeah, I guess.
It has built-in save scumming? What do you mean?
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Guys, I've not played this game. Isn't it when the timer runs out, it resets?
Well, oh, I mean, no, no.
No, no.
No, it's not Majora's Mask.
Yeah, but there's no time travel. Let's move on. too much talk about a game that came out in like 2006.
True. So, I have one item for new news this week. It is a hat tip to, I believe Todd shared this with me. There was a great article in The Guardian that was then picked up by a bunch of other places. It was all about Street Fighter, the movie, which we have covered on the show.
Oh, yeah. Todd sent this to you.
Was it you, Huel?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, damn it. Sorry. It was all about Street Fighter the movie, and apparently Jean-Claude Van Damme was like spending $10,000 a day on cocaine. They had zero fight training for this one. As we noted on the show, and pretty much everyone seemingly knew, Raul Julia was on his deathbed making this one.
Yes, unfortunately.
But he was incredible. Everyone agrees with that. And really hamming it up. His family was on the set. Like, he wanted them to see him making one last movie. So, oh, and everyone really liked Kylie Minogue. So,
oh,
was she? I remember. Yeah, we did cover this one, and I looked it up. It was episode 43, came out February 22nd, 2016. Kylie Minogue, you know. I think they're giving her a lot of credit just because she's a woman in an action movie. Was she really good?
Oh, boy.
I don't remember that.
Get those letters ready.
I think it was two things. One, the fact that she was nice to everyone on the set, and apparently she would like pay for them to have like parties and that kind of stuff. And the other thing, I think she was just competent. Like, it seems like there's kind of like... If you were not locking yourself in your trailer and doing $10,000 worth of cocaine, you were a model citizen on this film set. Yeah. So
she's probably just the least bad.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure behind the scenes she's the light. I was thinking about her on screen appearance. That, you know, she's just another generic person. In hey. Those were the real UN fighters, not UnSquadron. Those were the true.
Yes,
of the UN.
This was a United Nations coming together as one to defeat an evil dictator.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And also, I don't know if we got into this on the show, but apparently this movie made $140 million on like a $33 million dollar budget, at least according to this article. So
why did they not make a sequel?
Jean-Claude Van Damme snorted it all up his nose.
I mean, the way that movie ended, like, Bison is dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Doesn't he move underneath the pile of rubble at the very end or something like that?
I don't know.
I think his hand pops out or something.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know. Well, Raul Julia obviously died.
Hey,
so they can
just make a hologram like they did with Tupac.
Or like Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One.
Oh.
Just CGI him up.
And apparently Capcom wanted to have 17 different characters in this game, like everyone from the Street Fighter 2 games. So instead, you know, the Hollywood production company managed to get them down to like seven. And then like there's little cameos of everyone else. So
there's more than that. There's like 10, 12.
Just seven that the story would focus on.
Ah.
Meaning like you would actually like find out their deal. But
what's the deal?
The story mode.
With
story mode is called "What's the deal with this guy?"
What's the deal with Blanca?
Always good.
Forgot he called it.
I did too. oh boy. Well, Todd.
Oh, sorry, I actually had a bit of new news. Speaking of people speaking of people that have called in, today as we record this is former caller Vin Diesel's birthday.
Oh boy.
Van Dramsel himself.
This is Vin Diesel from the Fast and Furious franchise.
Turns a ripe 51, which is surprising.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
He's 51?
I don't think he's aged since 1996. But
oh, my God.
Apparently 51.
Ah.
Interesting.
He might be 51, but parts of his face are only 3 or 4. So.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Wow, that is important new news.
Yeah, I had to shove that in there.
No, I'm serious. Todd, did you get any asks this week?
Oh, we got an ask. Somebody desperately needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous. And this one is from an anonymous, and they wrote, "Why is this guy asking me out after midnight?" I am a middle-aged, attractive lady that has been on 2 date sites now. I met a guy who is very attractive on the site that I wouldn't mind going out with. The problem is he always asks me out after midnight. He'll say, "Meet me really quickly for a drink or at Denny's." I've told him that I would feel a lot more comfortable going out in the day. I've never met him before in person. He'll say he understands, then wait for a week and ask me again after midnight. I know that he asked somebody out for a date on Valentine's Day because he said his date did not go well, and he said the girl was pretentious and stuck up. Why would the guy keep asking me out after 12 midnight?
Huh.
Well, it seems like he's testing your judgment abilities. I think he's giving you this test over and over again, and you're probably passing. So you're just rising up the ranks to him. You're passing with flying colors. So I think you have to continue talking to him, not telling him what you want or your expectations. It's probably the best thing to do. And then just sit there hoping that he'll do something different. That's probably the best course of action.
This is modern dating in this modern day and age that we live in, these times and days we live in.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. It's all about texting that internet lady after midnight and trying to get a hookup.
Yeah.
Maybe he has an investment in Denny's. That he's just trying to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Hey, take you out after midnight. Where are we going to eat? Nowhere else but Denny's. Let's hit it.
That's it. It's the only place
Grand
open.
Slam.
Yep. Grand Slam. Steven, any thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. but not that many about this one. You know, I would say maybe he is a vampire. That was my guess.
Very real possibility.
Yeah. I remember another documentary called Fright Night that I watched for another podcast. And that was about a man of the night. So just be careful out there. Yes.
A vampire who loves moons over my hemi.
Mm-hmm. Another very real possibility rooted in reality. I think he's just worried about Mogwai.
Oh.
Oh.
Of course. Don't,
if you're up past midnight, chances are you're not a Mogwai.
Yeah, and then he'll feed you after midnight at Denny's to make sure you don't turn into a gremlin.
Yeah, he'll feed you something. Tell you right now.
Pancakes. A big old stack, as he likes to call it.
Yeah. This reminds me, for some reason, have you guys ever actually seen the music video for Pancakes Can Wait by Prince?
What? No.
He did a music video for it. It is exactly what you would think of a Prince video called Pancakes Can Wait. So, it's good times.
That is a doctrine I do not agree with.
You don't think Pancakes Can Wait.
So, I will not watch this video.
Hey, slight tangent. Whenever you're ordering breakfast at a breakfast place like Denny's, whenever you're ordering breakfast at a breakfast place like Denny's or an IHOB, as they say, and you get that combo meal, you got some eggs, got some bacon, got some hash browns, got some some toast, some pancakes, What else comes? Some corn hash? Some corned beef
Another
hash?
List.
Ding. Some eggs Benny. Get some eggs Benny. And a little short stack of pancakes. I always save the pancakes for last because I want to get everything else while it's hot. Those pancakes, they're cooling down within 10 seconds. There's no way, no matter when you eat that pancake, it's going to be cold. So I just save that one for last. Pancakes, you can wait.
Wow.
Coming in with a hot take on pancakes right here.
Hot take on cold cakes.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I don't know if that's a hot take. I feel like it's known that pancake is the overrated breakfast item.
Oh, you got your flour, waffle guy. You got your water, you got your syrup, and that's it.
Like, all of the other things you mentioned, I would rather have than a pancake for breakfast.
Yeah. Well, flours are the tortillas of breakfast.
Flours?
Sorry. Pancakes are the tortillas of breakfast. What? I was too busy thinking about other things that are comprised of flour. Yeah.
Oh, okay. The baking element.
Yes.
The tortillas? I don't know. I'm not getting into this.
Yeah. It's late. What are you going to do?
I think we're okay.
Yeah, we helped that person. That's good enough.
Exactly. They're either a vampire or a Denny's investor. That's what we settled on.
Yes.
Or both.
Mm.
Oh, good point.
Got him.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Yeah. I will realize my ambition by stepping on the bodies of the fallen.
Oh, boy. Huel, anything else you wanted to say?
For months, they have been waiting for the exact moment to begin their assault on the forces of Project 4. That moment has just arrived.
Ooh. That's a good note to end on. So, with that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's show.
You got no room for nobody. That's a wonderful thing. You got no room for nobody, but you're a lousy wrestler. It's as simple as that.
I might be a lousy wrestler, but I'm still in there. I'm not afraid of nobody.
Piper hammering away. Oh, no. Piper all over Frank Williams. Puck. Unbelievable. It's simple as this. Oh. Oh, no. Oh. That's incredible. Oh.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.